So today we're really beginning this series that we're looking at on what it means to be community, a community who are walking towards Jesus, and what it means to be doing that together. And today particularly we're looking at what it means to be discipled together as a community. Now of course discipled is one of those words that we all think, well, we sort of know what that means. But I suspect if I went around and asked every one of you what to be discipled means to you, we'd have as many answers as there are people here. Of course, we know the disciples, don't we? Andrew, Bartholomew, James, etc., etc. Good old Thomas as well. I can't wait to preach on Thomas. He gets a bad rap, doesn't he? But actually, I'm looking forward to preaching on him. But we may even have a vague idea, actually, that we too are to be disciples. We might have a vague understanding of that. But what does it mean to be a disciple when you're 20? What does it mean to be a disciple when you're 40, 60, 80, beyond? What does it mean for us to be disciples in the 21st century here in Bedhampton? Well, certainly Matthew and Co. and John, well, Matthew and Co. knew what it meant to be a disciple in Israel in the first century. It wouldn't be unusual for a rabbi to be walking around teaching with a number of his disciples following closely behind him. That wouldn't be a rare sign at all. As the disciples of the rabbis followed him, they wouldn't leave their side. They would stick really close. One rabbi, whose name I'm about to murder, Yosef ben Yoza, says this. He was two centuries before Jesus. He said, "Let thy house be a meeting place for the wise, and powder thyself in the dust of their feet, and drink their words with thirstiness." Powder thyself in the dust of their feet. The idea being that you would follow your rabbi and you would just imbibe who he was, just take on board all his words, but not just his words. You'd be so close to him as he was teaching on the dusty roads that you would come back covered in the dust of his feet. A symbol of who the real disciples were. But, I mean, what does that mean to us today? That's the big question. John Mark Comer, who's one of my favourite authors, says, "To be a disciple of Jesus is to order your life around three goals. To be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did." That sounds like our calling, doesn't it? To be with him, to become like him, to do what he did. That sounds pretty much what I speak about most weeks. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time here, aren't we? Why, you know, I'm sure you've got other things you could do on a Sunday morning. But actually, no. If we're here as a group, walking towards Jesus, becoming more like him, to being with him, doing what he did, then the disciples are who we are becoming. But actually, just like the disciples of the first century, we don't do it alone, we do it together, we do it in community. We are what John Mark Comer would call apprentices to Jesus. He says the word apprentice is better than the word disciple for us these days because we understand it better. And you've heard me use the word apprentice already in my time here, haven't you? So, we've defined what a disciple is. What's it mean then to be a community who disciple together? Well, I'm going to suggest there are two areas that we can look at. There are how we help others be better apprentices of Jesus. And then there's how others help us. How we give and how we receive discipleship in this community that we call Bedhampton. And I want to start by looking at how we give community, give discipleship, give wisdom and relationship to people. Because that's what I'm going to be saying discipleship is. It's about wisdom and relationship. And I know the moment I say wisdom, most of you are going, Max, I don't really have any wisdom to give. I've only been on this journey 2.5 minutes. Or actually, I've been on this journey a lot longer, but really I don't feel that I've got any wisdom to give. And I want to shut that down straight away. Because actually you do have wisdom to give. If you look at what Jesus did, he didn't send his disciples off to theology college for 3 years and wait for them to come back. No, he didn't do that. He sent them out in community. He sent them out in pairs and said, go teach what you know. Go teach what you know of God. That's wisdom right there. And you do have your experience of God. However long, however short your journey has been, you know what's happened to you and God. No one else does. That's the bit of wisdom that you have for this community here, to bring and share that with us. I'll share you a story of a teacher I had at Purwick Park School when I was at that school. Dr. Race. He was a fearsome character, actually. He was my chemistry teacher. And then suddenly I moved from the main school to the sixth form, when it had a sixth form. And suddenly Dr. Race wasn't my chemistry teacher, he was now my computer science teacher. And the problem with that is, Dr. Race knew a lot about chemistry, but not a great deal about computers. But actually, he held us in the palm of his hand, because he was 2 weeks ahead of us in the textbook. And whenever we would ask a question which he hadn't quite learned yet, he'd go, that's a really good question, Cross. And that's exactly what we're covering next week. But actually, that's what set my love for IT, that year with Dr. Race, because he was enthusiastic about his subject matter. And he included us in it all, and we journeyed together. That was his wisdom there, just 2 weeks older than our wisdom. You do have wisdom that you impart. You still don't believe me, do you? I can see it in your eyes. You do have wisdom. Let me assure you of that. And if you feel you don't, you certainly have the Holy Spirit. But of course, it would be a bit odd if you wandered up to someone in church and said, I'm just about to impart some wisdom to you. That would be a bit strange, wouldn't it? It would be a bit odd. Because you don't do that, do you? We build relationships first, don't we? We build relationships with people. Especially if we want to impart something to them that we think is going to be hard for them to understand. Actually, we want most of the time in our discipleship of other people, it will be about encouraging who they are in Christ. And we'll come on to that in a little bit. But sometimes there will be a moment where you go, I really feel that God is telling me to tell this person something quite hard. Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, said our reading. Jesus said, people stumble. We know that, don't we? We do muck up. And sometimes you'll see that in someone and you think, oh no, is God asking me to talk to them about that? Well, we can be careful with this because, as we know, when Jesus carried on, but woe to anyone for whom they come. So woe to anyone who the stumble comes from. But nevertheless, sometimes we do have to share that. How do we do that? How do we share in discipleship with someone when it's tough? I'm going to suggest there are two things that we might do in that area. Firstly, be swamped in prayer for that person. Pray, God, is this really what you want me to say to this person? Do they really need to hear this at this point? Sometimes they will. God, is this you and not me? I've got my hobby horses, I'm sure you have. We want to hear from the Holy Spirit for that person, don't we? Not us. And then when you're really, really sure that God does want you to say that to them, the second thing to do is to build a relationship with them. Make sure that you have enough invested in them that they will receive what you've got to say. You may have heard of this idea before, but the emotional bank account. Have you come across this before? Probably have. But in every relationship we have, there is an emotional bank account. And every time you say something positive to someone, you get £1 or £2 in the bank account. Fantastic reading, Carol. Love the way you read that. Ching, ching, £2 into Carol's bank account. Great way that you invited that couple into church. Really good. Ching, £1 into the account. That's good. And we need to invest until the account's overflowing. Because when you say something that's challenging, irrelevant of if it's correct, irrelevant of if you're right or not, it withdraws a lot more. You know, when I say something to someone that's challenging, bang, £10, £20 come out of the bank account. So the idea is, you know, if I say to someone, was that the way to treat that person? Do you think that was, maybe Jesus might have done something different? Irrelevant of if I'm right, bang, 20 quid out of the account. So the idea is that we need to invest way, way more positively into their account than we do withdraw. So that when we do withdraw, it's full up. So there you go. In terms of discipling other people, you have wisdom and you build relationship with them. But what about when the tables are turned? How do we receive discipleship from other people? Is it only me that doesn't like being told what to do? No? If I decide I want to lose some weight, I will put a program of activity, of exercise together. I will change my diet, and I will go for it, because I've decided to do that. If Susie decides I need to lose some weight, I head to the chip shop. It's just the way it is, isn't it? We don't like being told what to do. But the question we ask ourselves, or we need to ask ourselves, as we see how we can receive discipleship in community is, are we teachable? Whatever age we are, whether we're 80 or 8, are we teachable? Will we receive teaching from others? Imagine if Paul, in our reading, was speaking to you and not Timothy. If he says, but you flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. How would you have received that? Young man Timothy received it, but how would you have received that from Paul? I would have said something along the lines of, who the heck do you think you are, Paul? You were killing Christians the other week. Or would I? I don't know. And yet Jesus said that others should watch out for our sins as we watch out for theirs. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, it says. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So others might come to us and say, Max, do you think that was a great idea? Maybe Jesus might have done something different. It takes a wise person, doesn't it, to a wise and mature Christian, someone with wisdom to accept discipleship from someone else without being too defensive. To say, actually, I'm going to take that on board. I'm going to go to other people I trust and say, is this true of me? I'm going to pray to God and say, is this true of me? It might not be, but just to take it on board and weigh it up with God takes wisdom. So we have wisdom in when we give discipleship, but there's wisdom as well when we receive discipleship. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, Proverbs. But the one who heeds correction gains understanding. It takes wisdom to receive correction and discipleship. But what happens when someone comes up to you and says something to you, and they've missed the first part of my talk, and they missed the whole bit about the emotional bank account, and they just roll up to you and say, you shouldn't do that, you know. How do you receive that? If you're anything like me, you sort of tense up and you know. But actually, it always makes me giggle. Because often we think, well, I know better than them. They've done that wrong. They should have done the emotional bank account thing. I know better than them. It always makes me laugh. And when we feel that we know better than others, we still get offended. But I'm still going to ignore them in coffee for the next 6 weeks, isn't it? Surely if we are the ones who are further down the road in discipleship, we can take the slightly higher road. We can think, bless them, they did try their best. They did try and help me. Maybe I should get to know them in relationship and they will get to see actually what they think of me is not true. A bit like Jesus did with me. Or maybe he did it with you. You know, I remember before I started following Jesus as my leader and saviour, I sort of told him how things were. You know, you don't understand Jesus. Actually, firstly, you don't exist. Secondly, I know how to run my life. And thirdly, all you're about is money. Now, Jesus could have got a bit upset about that, couldn't he? But he didn't. For me and you, he said, I will show them love. I will show them what relationship is. I bless them, they think they know best. But actually, I'm going to show them what it means to be a disciple. I'm going to come to the earth and die for them on the cross. That's what Jesus did with me. That's what he did with you. Maybe that's a better model for us. I think actually receiving discipleship does take relationship and grace and wisdom, in as much as giving it does. Perhaps actually even more than giving it does. So that's the big idea. As we as a community head towards Jesus in discipleship, we're going to need to have wisdom and we're going to need to have relationship. And probably quite a lot of grace in there as well, but I haven't covered that today. But actually, as I said, you have wisdom. And so I'm not concerned about that, because you have the Holy Spirit and you have your experience of God. But I wonder, as I finish, I wonder where you are with relationship with one another. Do your friends look a lot like you? My friends often look a lot like me. Grey-haired, somewhere in their 40s or 50s, you know. We tend to, don't we? We tend to gather in groups of the same sort of people. But actually, we are a diverse group in walking towards Jesus here in Bedhampton, are we not? No, it's just with another part of our group over in St. Nicholas. When was the last time that we built relationships with someone that doesn't look like us? When was the last time we invited a couple or a single over for a meal who doesn't look like us and hang around with us normally? When was the last time we took that opportunity to build that relationship such that they might speak into our lives and we might speak into theirs? Maybe as we go about this summer, that is the thing we take away with us. Let's pray.